following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Welcome to Subject to Discussion. I apologize for the late start. We have some technical problems here at the studio, but got them all fixed now, and we'll get right to our interview with Mr. Whitwer. Sam, you there?
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good, John. How you doing?
All right. Thank you. Thank you for being patient with us. I apologize for the delay.
No problem.
All right. And I want to welcome you to the program. And so I've had several of the stars of the show on it, Aaron Douglas and a few others. And it's just incredible about the popularity of Galactica. I mean, have you been surprised?
Yeah, it's doing pretty well, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been unbelievable how popular the show is. I mean, now a little background on yourself. You're from, we got some account, we're both from the suburbs of Chicago.
Yep.
Right, and you're from Glenview. Mm-hmm. I won't hold that against you, but.
Yeah, try not to.
So that's Evanston, so I'm guessing you're a Cub fan, right?
You could say that.
Really?
I'm a little bit of an underdog fan.
Hey, well, then you got to be a Sox fan. See, I'm from the South Side. We're all Sox fans over there. So,
right, exactly.
And tomorrow's our New Year's Eve. You know, it's St. Patrick's Day. Now, how'd you get your start in acting? Did you start in... Well, you were a singer, too, because I got your bio from NBC Universal, and you started off in high school, right?
They have a bio about me?
A little one, yeah. Not
now, yeah, I hope they weren't telling lies or anything like
really?
That.
Really? they said you've been you signed for a 3-year deal with a 300,000 episode. Is that true too? No.
That's absolutely true. Tell as many people as you can.
There you go. Now, have you signed a contract for the second season yet? Or?
Yeah, I have a contract for season 2. In terms of the details of that, I can't really.
No, that's okay. And now, getting back to you went to Glenbrook South High School, right?
Yeah, Glenbrook South High School.
There you
man.
Go. See, they got right. And you went to the same high school that Jamie Gertz went to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now did you get your first?
Jamie Gertz was star from that vampire movie, right? The Corey Feldman one. Am I right?
I think so. I just remember the name.
Lost
I don't
Boys.
Know. What was it?
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys. There you go. With Jason Patrick.
Yeah.
He was in
smoking
it.
In that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's actually the grandson of Jackie Gleason.
What was that?
Jason Patrick's actually the grandson of Jackie Gleason.
Kidding.
No, honest to God, he's Jackie Gleason's grandson.
Wow.
So, but
yeah, Jackie Gleason was smoking in that Jackie Gleason show, huh?
They're all smoking now. They're all dead. But anyway, so then you had your first role in high school?
Yeah, I did plays in high school and stuff like that. I mean, I was more of the band guy, you know, walking around with the guitar and stuff, you know, that guy.
Yeah, and you start singing too.
Yeah, correct? That type of thing.
Yeah, and what was your first role? What made you decide going to acting? You say, I seen somebody on TV or stage. You said, I can do this.
I didn't really have a choice, to be totally honest.
Really?
Basically, God, how much of the story do I want to give out? I was maybe not the best student in high school, and my parents were pretty set on me going to college, so they maybe to apply to a bunch of schools, and they felt, well, you know, he does plays in high school. Maybe he can get in through a drama program because they don't really look at grades that much. And the only school all the schools that I applied to pretty much turned me down because of my grades.
Oh.
But Juilliard in New York actually took me because they don't care about grades. It's just all about the audition.
Oh, congratulations.
So I lucked into that, and I didn't really want to be an actor. I didn't know what acting was. I just went to the audition, didn't care, and then they accepted me into their program. So then suddenly I was at this acting conservatory.
Huh. Well, that'd be strange. I mean, you really didn't want to be an actor. Here you're thrown in the middle of it, huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can't complain. It's been really good to me.
Really? Well, obviously, I mean, because you've been in a lot of shows. I was going through, you know, again, I'm reading your bio, courtesy of NBC Universal, you know, and what was your first role? Your first role was where, in JAG or Murder in Small
you know
Town
what?
X?
Yeah, the JAG people, I think. I played someone's boyfriend or something like that. It was a really small role, but they gave it to me sort of as a favor because I was trying to get my SAG card. So I kind of knew those people from just auditioning for them over and over again.
Wow. And JAG, now Galactica kind of has like threads of JAG running through it, the military, you know, business, and that one
JAG
episode.
In space.
Yeah, yeah, like JAG in space, and they had that tribunal episode there. So it has, you know, feelings of JAG. And
yeah.
Then you went off to do ER, right?
Yeah, that was another, again, that JAG and ER and all those were all, like, within the same month, it seemed.
Wow.
There was all these small little roles that started coming my way, but, you know, I got to call Sally Field names, so that was cool.
Oh, there you go. Anytime you yell at an Oscar Award winner, yeah, that's a plus in my book, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But did you really, really like her after the role, or what? No.
Yeah, we went on a date. It was pretty hot. I don't really want to tell you the details.
Yeah, Sally Field. Yeah. Goes from Burt Reynolds to you, I don't know. Remember? And she was also the Flying Nun, if you remember that.
Everyone wants to get a little bit of the crash down.
There you go. And then he went to Arliss, which is an excellent show. They had that that dude that was in the Batman movie. I can't remember his...
Robert Wolf.
There you go. Yeah, that was a good show, too. And Dark Angel.
Yeah, Dark Angel was the first, like, guest star. That was, yeah. And that was actually by the American casting director of Battlestar Galactica.
Wow.
I met him.
Wow, good for you. And then She Spies... which I think is an excellent program. That show should win an Emmy.
Yeah, Natasha Henstridge is a riot. You wouldn't believe how funny that girl is. I mean, the whole time we were just making faces at each other off camera. It was a lot of fun.
And they're all hot.
Yes, and they're
show.
Hot.
Yeah.
And they're chicks.
There you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think the show's still on the air, I think.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's She Spies. Still, I thought it was. It's like Charlie's Angels, but with more silicone and more comedy, I think, right? Seriously.
And more Henstridge.
There you go. And then you went to The Lion's Den, which was Rob Lowe's program after he left the West Wing, right?
Yeah, that was, what was that? I think that was...
that was the season finale, right?
Where I was a skinhead who you later learn in the show is half black.
Really? Wow.
Sort of a white supremacist who has a black father, and you know, hilarity ensues.
Wow.
I don't know.
And I didn't see The Lion's Den. It only lasted, barely through the first season.
Yeah, they got rid of it after the season, which was foolish. It was a really good show.
Yeah. Well, I thought it would have been smart if they would have spun Rob Lowe off into his own series based on his character in The West Wing, but, you know. And then you did Angel, right?
Yeah, it was a quick little thing, but I met Marita, who directed episode 2 of Battlestar.
Wow. I mean, it's funny. It's a small world, huh?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And he did Enterprise, right? We won't hold the Galactica fans won't hold that against you.
that was again small thing. I told my agent, get me on Star Trek. I don't care if they have to lay a rubber all over my face. I just want to be on Star Trek once before I, while I have the chance.
There you go. And he played the Colonial with Zindi
Arboreal.
Well, whatever that was. I didn't watch much of Enterprise. Then you went back to JAG. You played two different characters in JAG. It wasn't the same one. You came back as somebody else, Lieutenant Bennett.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. They keep calling me in for different, like, the JAG and CS, what is it? The JAG and NCIS people, you know, NCIS is a spinoff of JAG. And those guys call me in all the time, no matter how many times I've been on their show, which is sweet of them. Mm. And
well, both shows.
I like to pretend like it's all been one character.
Yeah.
You know,
he
changes his name. I have no idea.
Well, that's cool, because, I mean, that show has, Mark Harmon's in it. That'd be, you know, how's it working with him?
Oh, I didn't work with him. I worked with Sasha, I think her name was. Really sweet chick, and we had a lot of fun. I mean, there were ridiculous amounts of fun on these shows. I got to, you know, watch people blow things up and then mouth off to people, and, you know. And as a matter of fact, NCIS dictated the haircut for Crashdown. Because I was actually on the set shooting that when they called to get me to come to Vancouver. So I'm like, okay, but my hair's shaved, and that's fine.
That was perfect, yeah, because Galactica is basically a military show. You know?
Yeah.
And so that actually had a question that one of the people listening to the show also in the chat room asked, how'd you, before the mini, did you see the mini before you getting cast as Crashdown?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
I did. As a matter of fact, that's pretty much what led to me getting the part. I mean, me and some friends watched it, and we're just... I mean, I was surprised. I was blown away. I couldn't believe the quality of the show and the acting and the production values and everything was just amazing. So since I knew Robert Ulrich, the guy that cast me in Dark Angel, he's cast me in some other things as well. Mm-hmm. I had my agent put in the word. I'm like, tell Robert that I'd like to do a guest shot on Battlestar Galactica, because I needed to get to Canada to get some... There was a weird Canadian tax law, and I had some money, like tax money that needed to be claimed by having another job in Canada. So I'm like, you know what? Tell Robert I want to be in Battlestar Galactica.
Hmm.
And within a week of that call, the call came in, Robert wants to bring you in for this regular in Battlestar Galactica. It's some sort of pilot. He's kind of like Starbuck. You got to, you know, bring him in. You know, and so I went in, read once, put it on tape, and then 3 months later they called me for the role.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, that'd been pretty cool. How was it, you know, joining the cast after, you know, I mean, after the group was together for the mini, to come in late? I mean, how was that? Were they all pretty welcoming, or?
Yeah, you would, I mean, that cast, you know, the Battlestar Galactica cast is a magic cast. I mean, those people are not only extremely talented, but all really, really great, fun people. And everyone was just really welcoming. I mean, everything from, you know, walking on and meeting Aaron Douglas and having him just sort of, you know, look me up and down, kind of glare at me a little bit, and then say, hey, I'm going to bring you out with the boys later on tonight.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay,
yeah,
sounds good.
He's
you know,
pretty cool.
And, sitting in the makeup chair and having Boomer and Starbuck walk in and have Boomer put her hand on my shoulder and be like, hey, what's up, partner?
I mean,
because they were all apparently well aware that I was coming well before I knew.
Oh, so. Cool. Very good. So you didn't sit in the same makeup room as Mary McDonnell, or no?
Every now and then.
Wow.
You know, since we're, you know, Crashdown and the president, I mean, you know, they're having an affair off camera. I mean, it's clear.
Those deleted scenes.
That room is pretty clear on that. I think we transmit that well. But we're never on camera a lot.
There you go.
So, no, I didn't really see Mary a lot, but, I we're always in passing and everything like that.
Yeah. And I'm going to go back to your career a little bit, because I know I'm getting hit a lot of questions from the chat room. But now, how competitive is it for roles in movies or television? I mean, are you specialize? You want going after like sci-fi shows or military shows, or you know, it's tough getting a role on any kind of show these days, isn't it?
You just got to go in and know how to threaten the casting director.
There you go. There
you know, it's that simple. And you know, I've got a very stern look. It's half the work is already done for me.
There you go.
Does that answer the question? What was the question?
No, how competitive is it to get a role on television? I mean, did you have to? Well, you really didn't have to audition for Crashdown, right? Basically, you had an in, kind of, right?
Yeah, basically, I knew that. Yeah, basically, what it was, I auditioned. You know, they taped it. I knew that Robert was going to go to bat for me because he's always done that for me. Great guy. And then they asked, you know, like a month down the road, they're like, "Hey, can we see some more tape on Sam Witwer?" My agent sent some more footage, and then, you know, 2 months after that, they called me. But yeah, it's incredibly competitive, and from what I've found, it's more about, you know, getting to know the casting directors, getting them to trust you, getting them to know that they're going to get something good if they put their ass on the line and hire you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then do you like sci-fi, or do you want to do like Aaron Douglas and Alonzo and them? They've also they want to do a like a military type of show. Stephen Bochco is doing a show called Over There about a unit in an army unit over in Iraq. I mean, do you want to do like military shows like they do, or? Like
oh, I mean, I you know, it's funny. I've been really fortunate to get some really challenging roles here and there.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think that they're necessarily by design. I mean, I'd love to do any kind of military shows, any kind of this, any kind of that, but this is going to sound really mercenary of me, but I almost look I look at acting almost like as my day job, and I'm very lucky to be able to say that, but it pays for things like...
you're a singer, too, right?
Right. You know, like, yeah, exactly. Like, Battlestar Galactica has absolutely paid for this album that I'm finishing up. So,
oh. What's the name of the album? What's the name of the album? Have you named it yet?
You know, I don't have...
Really?
I don't even know what I'm going to call the project. I don't know what I'm going to call myself. I don't know what I'm going to call the album. I mean, right now, it's all about just getting the songs to work you know, I'm in the final stages of that, and at that point, I'm going to figure out how to market it. But it's, you know, first things first. You know?
Yeah. What kind of music is it?
Rock music, roughly. Yeah. It's if you could picture, well, how could I describe this? Take System of a Down, Faith No More meets Peter Gabriel meets Red Hot Chili Peppers meets.
Wow.
What?
A little bit of everything.
Bagpipe music. I don't know. It's all over the place. It's. You know, some of it is really accessible, some of it is a little bit out there, and some of it is sweet, and some of it is very hard to listen to.
Really?
So it's you know, it's all over the place.
So now you're a singer, and now Nikki Cline played Annie. Now you two, they should have a karaoke lounge on the Galactica. You two get up there and sing.
Oh, we should absolutely do that. No, absolutely. I think that...
like Donnie and Marie, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. As a matter of fact, Nikki and I have talked about going to do karaoke, I think at least once or twice since she's been in town.
Really? You should come down here to Vegas. We got karaoke's all over this town.
Oh, I'm going to Vegas. There's a wedding pretty soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, it's a good town. I mean, who's getting married?
Nobody
from the show?
Mine are getting married, and the same group is going to both parties. Matter of fact, the guitarist from my band is the guy that's getting married.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations.
The guy that used to play guitar for me in high school.
Really? He's not getting married by Elvis, are they?
No, I don't think Elvis is available for that marriage, but, you know, who knows? Maybe, what, they had that Star Trek thing? Maybe there's a Klingon that could
do
that for him.
There you go. Well, don't say it. Well, these Galactica fans, they'll lynch him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know?
Cylon.
There you go.
Chick.
There you go. And what else? If you could be any actor besides yourself, living or dead, who would that be and why?
That's
one of my Barbara Walters type questions. You should be breaking down in tears about now.
I know. You know? If I could be any actor?
Living or dead.
Living or dead?
Hmm.
Wow. Aaron Douglas. Because he's handsome, he's tall, and he's a nice guy with a teddy bear heart.
You must owe him money or something. Do you owe him money?
What's up?
Do you owe him money or something?
Yeah, exactly. Aaron, I hope you're listening to this.
I don't know if he is now. Actually, he was just in Europe for that. He went over with his mother, I think, and he stopped at some kind of fan, one of his cons up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he actually helped, arrange to get you on the show. So, you know, right. I'll thank him, but you could, curse him if you want.
Oh, I know which side of the bread is buttered, or how does that saying go?
What side the bread's buttered on?
That's the
there
one.
You go.
That's what I said.
There you go.
Exactly.
And my last Barbara Walters type question before I turn over to the questions in the room. If you could be any animal, what animal would you be? There
Santa
you go.
Claus.
An animal. Santa Claus is an
Santa
animal?
Santa Claus is an animal. He's a human.
Oh, human. I guess.
How do you like that?
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Can't
and
stop
they want to go on, the fans want to go on to Galactica now. Where are we at here? What has been your favorite scene so far and why?
There's some stuff coming up in the next episode. What episode has aired?
Hand of God just aired.
Okay. There's some stuff coming up in undisclosed, very special Battlestar Galactica that we did, and I can't really talk about it. But in terms of the stuff that's aired so far, I don't know what. I suppose it would have to be the finding water scene, if not just because me freaking out and screaming and saying, yeah, we found water, yeah.
Yeah.
And put on your swim trunks, all that. That caused quite a bit of discussion and controversy amongst the producers. They were like, wait, he's a military guy. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't scream. He wouldn't do that. And David Icke's like, yeah, he would. Yeah, he would. So we shot it. We actually went back and reshot it.
Really?
And, where Crashdown gives a more subdued reaction. And eventually they went with the Sam freak out version with the, all that stuff.
Huh. That's
so,
pretty cool.
The producers are amazing on that show. They are so open to the actors trying whatever they want to try. And and more often than not, like most of the stuff that I changed has made it an episode.
Wow.
Really
for you.
Flattering.
It's that Juilliard training coming through, right?
Right, exactly.
There you go. And who is the main prankster on the set?
The main prankster?
Yeah. So now somebody said it was Edward James Olmos, and then somebody else said it was Aaron Douglas.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone on the set had some prankster in them. I mean, it would be unfair of me to single one person out. I mean, for example, Grace Park, I don't think people know how funny that girl is,
she's very hot, too.
Starbucks. But I call them by their call signs. We actually do, by the way, for all of you people listening out there, we absolutely do call each other by our call signs.
Very
I will
good.
Call up Katie and say, hey, what's up, Star Bizzle? It's Crash Dizzle, and we're dorks.
Really? Well, it's good. I mean, I used to work for a wrestling promotion, and our rule was every time you walk into the building, you refer to everybody as their characters,
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just
Oh, and we do say frack a lot, even off camera.
Nat Felder garb, is that coming the second season? And the third season would be...
What exactly? I always imagined Felder carb was some sort of strange low-carb soft drink or something.
I think Felder carb... I don't know what Felder carb really is in our
term. I think it's
crap, I think.
Feces, right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and then
you know
have,
what?
Nope.
I don't give a frat.
There she is. There she is, and then we have then the third season you have Yaren and then Senton to get all that stuff in there.
We're gonna slowly but surely get all those words in.
Yeah, to the future seasons.
Yeah, I think they kept frack because they wanted us to be as foul mouthed as possible, without actually us doing that.
Dropping the F bomb. Yeah. And do you have a method for preparing for each scene you're in? You go to the director and say, what am I reacting to? Because you're in that, that raptor, and you have a blue screen around you. Do you ask him, what am I reacting to?
Fishbowl in my head.
Yeah.
Methods for preparing for a scene. Basically, I mean, it's basically, I would look at the script and just try to figure out. If Crashdown has a function on the show, I think it's to give a reaction to whatever is going on that's a little bit out of phase with the rest of the characters, just something that maybe isn't entirely expected. And you know, so the character is defined as much through that as he is through who I think he is. So in terms of actually on the, but to answer the question, in terms of actually being on the set and any kind of process, Crashdown is a little bit closer to me than I've played on other shows, so I don't really feel like I need to get in any kind of strange headspace to do him.
Really?
You know?
Wow.
So.
Well, that's pretty good.
He's a little bit darker than I am, I think. I think I'm a little bit more jovial.
Well, you got that girlfriend of yours now, Ensign Davis there, you're, you know, fooling around with on the show now, you know,
yeah,
according to last week's episode.
And
yeah. How'd you get the name Crashdown? Have they said how you got it? And have you come up with any kind of backstory for your character?
Well, yeah, I assume it's pretty self-explanatory that he's, you know, responsible for trashing, you know, millions of dollars or cubits, as they say, in military equipment during training or something along those lines. I always assumed that, you know, he's a little bit reckless. He makes some mistakes and, you know.
Huh. Now, are there any plans to make you a Viper pilot in the second season?
I don't think so. I think the producers have something very specific in mind for Crashdown. I've heard some. I've pretty much got the pipeline a little bit too. I mean, you know, there were a lot of rumors flying around at the end of the first season.
And yeah.
I think they have one very specific function for Crashdown in mind, and I can't really give away what that is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I
think it's going to be a situation where, you know, when all is said and done, you know, the guy will have made his mark.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's see. You'll be Rosalind's boy toy, I think, right, on the show? You'll be the president's boy.
Not exactly what anyone could possibly think of. Yeah, it's something that probably, you know, people won't see coming.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Now, they're asking now, do the cast members know which of the crew are Cylons, and are they kept in the dark about it like the fans?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
We're kept in the dark. We don't know. But there's a lot of accusation and lots of arguments during lunch and people throwing things. It gets ugly. It's awful. Makes it a very uncomfortable working environment when people are always pointing the finger. Terrible.
Really?
Of course, very much joking.
Who's your favorite actor on the set to do in scenes with? Do you like working with? You haven't really had any scenes with Nikki Klein, have you? No.
I have actually run into Nikki a few times.
Yeah, but nothing really. I think that scene where what's her name? Hadrian was taking away Boomer and Natiril for the tribunal. I don't know if you had words between each other, but you're all in the same scene.
Well, you know, it's funny. There's quite a bit of Crashdown material that had to go in the scripting, and then there's you know, even more material that had to go, you know, after we shot it, and it's basically because he sort of would serve a comic relief type thing. So there would be like some intense things happening in the episode, and then Crashdown would come in and do, you know, say something stupid, and you would sort of look at it and be like, well, that's got to go. So there's been some stuff that's been shot, but it's all been, you know, it wasn't central to the plot and had to go. But it was all sort of very. Some of the stuff was pretty funny. And again, never, you know, just trying to get those funny moments in line with what's happening with the main action, which, you know, happens more later on in the season.
And another question, they want to know what you eat for breakfast.
What I eat for breakfast?
And why don't you ask what size is it waist is while they're at it?
I know. Wheaties? Is that a good answer? No, I...
Me, it's a donut and a Coke. That's breakfast of champions.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. There Taco Bell.
Oh,
Taco Bell's really good.
Wow.
What is it, the 7-layer burrito or whatever it is? Like the
for breakfast?
Grilled stuff, yeah.
Wow.
No, not always. I'm totally lying. Actually, just it's boring. Fruit.
Fruit? Really?
Fruit for breakfast.
Now, you're in L.A. right now, so are you out there for pilot season?
I actually live here.
Oh, you live there? Oh, I thought you, you know, go back and forth to Chicago.
Oh, I'm an American. Oh, yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So how is it? Did you find a difference between L.A. and Chicago? I mean, it's a world of difference. I moved from Chicago to Vegas. It's like, what am I doing out here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there is a world of difference, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago people are generally... You know, I guess this explains it all. When you're in Chicago and you're driving and you turn on the turn signal...
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, you want to get in? Sure, yeah, go on. Los Angeles, they look, they're like, oh, turn signal? Oh, you're trying to go there. I'll go there.
You know,
and they sort of cut you off. Turn signal is like a tool to know how better to foil other drivers in the road rather than, you know.
Exactly.
What it's designed for. So, you know, Los Angeles is fast-paced. You know, I like the people from Chicago better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real difference between the Midwest and the... People out in California, just I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the sun or what, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's people are very driven over here, and sometimes people can get carried away with that. But there are plenty of great, great people that have found their way out to the West Coast.
Dennis Farina, Dennis Franz, actually, also is a Chicagoan, too.
Who?
Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, and then Dennis Farina from Law & Order.
Right on.
Yeah, and then he had Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. You know, she's done well for herself. Yeah.
Harrison Ford, actually.
Oh, that's right.
He went to the high school that was like a high school that was 5 minutes away from my house where I grew up.
Really? Yeah, because I remember when he did The Fugitive, he made his point. He wanted that film shot in Chicago because that's his hometown. If you could do one movie in Chicago, you want that one to be done and filmed in Chicago.
Yeah, seriously.
So, and did you have a website before we let you go?
What was that?
The fans are asking if you have a website.
Oh, I will soon. Actually, it's gonna be mostly promoting
the music?
Music stuff, but it will be up soon enough. I've got the web space and everything.
All right, because you have to let us know, because LV Rocks also does music and everything else. So we may bring on the other shows.
That'd be great.
Is the site just gonna be your name, or the producer's asking? I don't think his mic is on.
It's gonna be www.samwhitwer.com.
Samwhitwer.com. Wow, very good.
Yeah, very easy to remember.
Yeah. Now, any words for the fans before we let you go?
Oh yeah. Thanks so much for watching the show. Really appreciate the support, and I hope that you guys enjoy the last few episodes as much as we, enjoyed making them.
Very good. Very good. Sam Whitwer, we thank you very much, and thank you for being patient coming on late. I'm sorry about that again, but thank you very much. All right, thank you.
Well, thanks a lot, John.
Thanks a lot.
Later.
And that was Sam Witwer, who plays Crashdown on Battlestar Galactica. And it was nice hearing from him. He had some... there you go. He had some scenes in the... pretty good scenes in the last episode. He found Tilium, and then, of course, on the water, he found water. Or he, actually, Boomer found the water, but he took him to nudge her to realize she found the water. And other than that... Now, if Canic Rules is out there, if you want, you can call in, and we'll start going over, going through a Hand of God. Well, I did want to get our guest in, but I'm running a little low, short on time. I don't know. What do you think? You want to, we can call her? Call this lady? On the top, the number there? All right. See if we can get her on. Just a few minutes. That's our writer friend. Hold on, Canic. We have a writer friend from the Chicago Tribune. And actually, Galactica's been in the news a lot lately. They had, of course, the TV Guide's coming out, and I haven't been able to find it here in Vegas yet. But they have they're on a cover of TV Guide, the Ultimate Guide, and they're talking about the show itself, and also the cliffhanger and a sneak preview of next season. And a lot of people are saying it's a red herring that they threw it out there just to fake out the fans, not spoiling any of the plots. I wouldn't blame them. Remember they used to do that with Dallas and all that in its heyday. And then, they want to save some of it for the fans. They want to, spoil it off for, a TV Guide. And in the article, they talk about Katie Sackhoff. They talk about, where are we at here? Sci-fi hero takes stamina. She's in a sweaty suit on her belly. And there's gross slime over. That's when she was on an active contrition. And it takes three washings to get out of your hair. And she got worse. Had to put those veins supposedly to drive the ship in her mouth. And she already had the flu. And the scenes are on the plane. She had down. So I mean, they're all talking about the roles. Mary McDonald was complaining about being on Colonial One because the set. I've heard that elsewhere too. That the set's a little small. And what else? And let's see. It's a bane of her existence. She likes being on the Galactica because the lighting's a lot better, and it's a middle-aged woman in a high-definition video, and a plane is too small to light. So she says, "Why don't you just shoot me in the foot?" Then she says, "Take the damn roof off the plane," she said. So she wants the scenes better. And I think we're gonna be joined by Maureen, Ryan. Oh, maybe we got some music.
Presenting His Eminence, our Imperious Leader.
Wow. Ready? Hello, Maureen.
Hello? Yeah.
Hi. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, thank you for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. We're a little late starting up, so I apologize if I kept you waiting.
Oh, no, I just was about to call you guys.
Oh, okay.
So, no worries.
Well, this is Maureen Ryan, right? She writes for the Chicago Tribune. She's the television writer, correct?
Yeah, I'm one of two, actually.
One of two. And you've been writing some pretty nice articles about Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I've really been impressed with the season so far, and I just am really pleased that it's coming back for another season.
Yeah, I mean, are you a big sci-fi fan, or just the show seems to have grabbed
you? Yeah, I would say I'm a pretty big sci-fi fan. I've probably, watched a lot of pretty much every sci-fi franchise that's come along.
Wow.
But I think the most recent thing I wrote was sort of, I was hoping to get people who don't consider themselves sci-fi fans to hopefully check it out at least, because I just think that the show you know, I mean, if a show's really, really good, it kind of, the genre doesn't matter as much, you know. I mean, a show like ER, you might not think you like hospital dramas, or The West Wing, you might not think that you like political dramas, but when shows like that are at their best, they kind of transcend any one label, and I think that's really what's happening with Battlestar, and I hope that, I certainly am not alone in the only, as, you know, a lot of other people, a lot of other critics have said that they really enjoy the show, and it's just a good drama, regardless of genre, so
yes.
I'm glad that that word is kind of getting out a little bit.
Yes, it seems, it's gotten a lot of critical praise and everything, which is unusual for a science fiction show. A lot of people write off as a, you know, a geek fest and everything else, and it's,
I know, I'm really, I'm so happy to see that, because, you know, I think that really so often does happen. I think, you know, a show like The X-Files, on the one hand, you know, part of the reason it survived its first few years is because, you know, there wasn't that much glare of attention on it, but, you know, and critics were allowed to get the word out, and people sort of discovered it. But I think, you know, as we've seen with Farscape, you know, sometimes critical acclaim and just, you know, a really rabid fan base and loyal fan base, you know, sometimes that doesn't necessarily ensure a show's survival.
True. But this show really seems to have, well, I think a lot of it has to do with who's heading the cast. You know, Edward James Olmos and Mary McDonnell, they don't usually do a science sci-fi show, so, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, bringing all the headlines, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it's really interesting to me looking back, I guess it was probably 2 years ago now, at the TV Critics Association tour, when Edward James Olmos said, if you were a huge fan of the, I know I'm not going to quote him correctly, but he said something along the lines that if you were
huge fan,
if you're so devoted to the first incarnation, you know, that you can't give us a chance, then don't watch this one. And I think, you know, now that I've seen the show, I kind of understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone necessarily wants to cast aspersions on the first show. This is just, you know, as Ron Moore has repeatedly said, it's just a completely different take on the premise.
Yeah, I mean, the premise is more or less still intact, kind of, and then they tweaked all the characters, and they gave them, a lot of them, all first names, and, you know, different histories, like Ty in the original show, he was African-American, now he's a, you know, a white drunk, you know, so I mean,
right.
They really turned some of the ideas on their head, but, I mean, it, so far, it's gone over really well.
I think you're right, and I think the biggest difference for me, I mean, just, and it's not even the difference from the first series, but just in terms of a lot of drama on the networks or on cable, I mean, you do have darker fare like Rescue Me or Deadwood, or, you know, a lot of the really stellar cable shows are sort of the darker, have a darker turn, but, you know, sci-fi is in a lot of homes, and it's sort of on a lot of standard cable packages, and a lot of people get that channel, so it's, you know, I wouldn't say that they've ever penciled themselves in as being mainstream, but what really struck me about the show is how they allowed Ron and his writers to have this very singular vision, which a lot of times is fairly dark and fairly, you know, complicated about human nature.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really brave. You know, I just think what seems to be happening across the TV landscape is that the networks are trying to homogenize to a certain degree to get the most people, whereas there are so many cable networks nowadays that the cable networks know that to make some noise, they have to have something that's really original, and they have to really allow it to have its own voice.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that...
Well, this stands out because you have the smoking doctor and...
Yeah.
You know, they have the sex in it and everything else.
Right.
I mean, it's just...
And what I see, and what some friends of mine, you know, and people who I work with who are sci-fi fans, a few of us have noted, you know, Ron obviously comes from the Star Trek world, and for my money, my favorite Star Trek incarnation was Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and I don't know if you ever were a fan of that show, but to me it really echoes... Maybe it takes it even a few notches beyond what Deep Space Nine was able to do, but that was a show with a lot of
drama,
very complex relationships, and people who didn't always act in, you know, the way that you would expect, you know, Starfleet officers to act. And
true.
It had a much more complicated take on, you know, not just genre entertainment, but on, you know, drama.
Yeah.
And I just see echoes of that everywhere. And so I'm really glad that, as Ron has said, that whatever shackles there might have been on Star Trek writing, you know, when he was there, he seems to have sort of cast them aside and gone even further into his vision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once again, this is Maureen Ryan. She's the one of the television writers for the Chicago Tribune, joining us on the line. Maureen, I'm going to let you go right about now. Is that right?
Just, sure.
I want to get the review of the episode, and with our late start, I'm trying to cram as much in as I can. But we'll like to have you come back for an extended interview next week, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, no
okay.
problem.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
Thank you, Maureen.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that's Maureen Ryan, once again, a television writer for the Chicago Tribune. And I'll have our producer play a soundbite from Hand of God. Let's see here. Hold on.
How many times are you going to ask me?
There you go. You can skip over.
Well, until you find some Tillium Ore. But don't you want to be a hero to Ensign Davis? Mm-hmm. Oh, you haven't noticed how she always sits next to you in the mess? How's it going, Crash?
I'm cute.
Damn it, there's so much debris in the system, Madratus is useless. This is going to take 100 years.
Yeah, I heard about how you found water, how you saved the whole
thing.
Jackpot, Boomer! That asteroid dead ahead is a mountain of Tillium! Check it!
Oh, thank the gods! We're heroes! Yeah!
We're heroes! Never fails! Great, Boomer! The second that I score, the bus driver jumps in and takes the credit.
Okay, so who's the one that we suggested?
What?
Silence.
Attention. And we're joined. Caller, you're on the air?
Yep.
Oh, Kena Gruels. I had a feeling it was you. I'm going to play one more soundbite. You can play number 8 for us. There you go. Hold on. Just a moment.
Galactica, Apollo,
mission accomplished. You can tell Dr. Baltar he was right on the money. It's one hell of a fireworks show.
And Koenig?
Yes.
Hi. I just want to get some of the sound bites because Blade Runner went out of his way to get me those sound bites.
Those are great.
Yeah, they are, and I want to get a few of them in, but you know, before the show goes off the air tonight. And
right.
Three,
cool.
I think we've got six of them so far, so that's all right. And
yeah.
So you got some news now. The ratings from last week for Hand of God,
they
did
the rating was a 2.2.
2.2, so edged up just a little bit, but still not up to its normal 2.5.
Right.
So
you got to remember 2 weeks ago when it took a hit for 2.1, the Monk season finale aired at the same time.
Well, this time they really don't have any reason why. But
last week it started a half hour later
because
they had a special
Stargate.
Star Trek.
Yeah.
Stargate SG-1 episode.
What'd you think of Hand of God? I
thought
it was an excellent episode.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, I started thinking about this scene with Adama and Lee, and I go, oh, we get all choked up. You know, no.
Right. It was one of the episodes that I think even an original series fan would like because it had the same type of action-packed quality to it that a lot of the original series shows.
Yeah, and then just the whole feel of the episode. I mean, the thing with the models on the table, how they edged them closer to the ship, all that was classic.
Yeah,
that
was cool, and even the special effects with the Vipers as they're approaching the asteroid, that reminded me a lot of the scenes that they would have in the original series with the Vipers heading toward the base stars and... It was a cool episode.
Yeah, the whole up and down. I mean, I like the music to play at the end, the Gaelic Irish music. I mean, I don't know if it was a nod to St. Patrick's Day or what, but I mean, it was classic.
And interestingly, you mentioned the music.
They are
going to release a CD of the season 1 music.
Correct.
For La La Land Records.
And
I believe that's going to be one of the tracks.
Yeah,
that they are going to have on it.
Correct, and then they're going to air they're going to bring out the companion to the show in a book form.
Yes.
Or else. And what do you think of the ending scene of Hand of God when Six and Baltar, they're down there, they're doing the prophecy, if it's happened before, it's going to happen again. All this has happened before, all this will happen again. And then it's the Pythian prophecies. Now, the religion is starting to creep into it.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. You can basically see that there's going to be a lot of focus on Bautar. I'm not sure if you saw the TV Guide article.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of teasing here, yeah.
Yeah, where they mentioned spoilers for season two, but one of the spoilers was that he is going to become a much more...
stronger character.
As they said, energized Bautar.
There you go.
And he's going to gain a lot more power, so... That ought to be interesting to see in season two.
Yeah, well, I like how they've set the table for the season finale. How Six says that the verse from Pythia says that was led by snakes, vipers, the number 2 and 10, you know, the Mark II vipers, and then it's going to be a confrontation in the home of the Lord, home of the gods, mm-hmm. which is Kobol. Right, they're
going
to supposedly have a big showdown on Kobol.
Right, so. And it looks like in season two, according to this TV Guide article again, they're going to make a stand on Kobol too. So it sounds to me like there's going to be a lot more of these action-driven episodes.
Oh, that's good. I think that's what they need because they need to have more of these action shows in the middle of these dramatic shows. I think that's what hurt the ratings when I did too many of these, solos, drama shows. They need to mix in with a lot more action.
I think probably what Ron Moore was trying to do because I was trying for you to understand the characters, mm-hmm. and now that you do understand the characters a little bit more. He can go overboard, in my opinion, he can do at least half of those episodes for season two.
Yeah,
all action.
We didn't give any spoilers out, did we? No, because somebody's saying, "Oh my God, a spoiler!" We really didn't say. I mean, we said what Six is saying, that there's going to be a confrontation in the home of the gods, which is Kobol. I don't think we didn't give anything away.
No,
especially with TV Guide's giving a lot of stuff away too. If you're reading the TV Guide, it kind of give a lot of stuff away too. But who knows if that's true or not? You don't know if Moore and Ike are just throwing it out there just for the fans to consume. Then they'll come out and be totally different than what they put in TV Guide.
You know, something about Battlestar that I couldn't say with other sci-fi shows, including Star Trek. Mm. You don't know what Moore is planning for season two.
True.
I mean, without starting any rumors or anything, I would say anything's up for grabs.
What about the rumor that I'm joining the cast? Did you hear about that one?
What?
The rumor I'm joining the cast.
You're going to be a Viper pilot,
no,
right?
No, I'm going to be Commander Dama's right-hand man now. I'm going to be Colonel Daly. I don't know what my call sign is going to be. It's going to be Chuckles. No, Chuckles, they blew away. asteroid belt. But I mean, I like the episode really well. Well, they said in the podcast it was a Big Mac. Rod Moore in his podcast said it's a Big Mac to fans. Mm-hmm. A lot of action. There's quite a bit of drama and just overall. I mean, just it's incredible.
It was a good episode. My source at Sci-Fi said not to worry about the rating. They were anticipating even something below a 2.0. I mean, really what should be concerning them is the Stargate SG-1 ratings. Because
are they dropping?
I think only one episode to date so far has pulled above a 2.0. So that show seems like it might be winding down. Atlantis is doing okay. Atlantis seems like it's going neck and neck with DSG the last couple weeks. But...
Koenig, the Cylons are going to kill you off.
No. I was just going to play a clip from last week.
Oh, okay. Play a clip.
Got a job for you.
Rumor mill has it that you're planning an op.
Rumor mill's right for a change. Captain Adam and Colonel Ty are working on the plan now, and I need some serious out-of-the-box thinking.
Out-of-the-box is where I live.
Wow. That was some good scenes in that show. I mean, I gotta thank NBC Universal for the let me air those sound clips. Although they didn't really give me permission for those, but I have permission from earlier. So hopefully I'm transferring the permission from that over to this because the one show that gave me permission to air clips of was Aaron Douglas, and I never did. So hopefully it's all right what I'm doing here.
Right.
I don't think they have any problems. There you go.
Gentlemen, we're not as crazy as she is.
Oh, Adama. And
if you keep running from the schoolyard bully, he keeps on chasing you. But the moment you turn around and stop and you punch him really hard in a sensitive spot, he'll think twice about coming back again.
So it's either this or run out of fuel and be annihilated.
Sometimes you have to roll the hard six.
There you go. There you go. It's nice. I want to thank Edward James Olmos and Mary McDowell for being on the show as well as with Katie Sackhoff and Jimmy Bamber. Well, I've had a full hour of guests here. You know, they didn't even know they were guests on the show, and they're turned up. But
it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good show. So hopefully now this Friday is Colonial Day. We'll see the return of Richard Hatch.
With Richard Hatch, which interestingly, they haven't even shown a clip with him.
No.
I mean, again, it seems like they're downplaying.
Well.
Downplaying his role, because I really think they want the show to stand on its own merit.
Absolutely. And once again, I want to thank Blade Runner for going through all the trouble of creating those sound bites for me. I appreciate it.
How many episodes are left, by the way?
Huh?
How many episodes are left?
After Colonial Day, then you get the two-part season finale.
Right. Right.
Cobalt's last
three episodes left.
Three.
Cobalt's
last
right.
gleaming part one, and Cobalt's last gleaming part two.
And then we wait till July.
And then I
screwed up last week.
Oh, no.
And I taped 10 to 11.
Oh, no. You missed a half hour overlap.
But
damn,
I watched
Stargate.
I watch it Monday night again.
Right. Yeah. They repeat it Monday night.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, why was that? Because of what?
Stargate hit a 90-minute episode.
Ah, who cares?
I know. Damn show. Take it off the air. I'm sick of it. Because I thought about it, too. I'm sick
now,
of
why
it.
Can't they start it? Why can't they start at 8:30?
I don't know.
Why inconvenience the Battlestar?
Exactly. That's my
viewers.
Thing. Is well, yeah, that's what hurt the ratings. They bumped back Galactica 30 minutes.
This was a ploy to get better ratings for
Atlantis, probably. Because a lot of people turned in that last half hour. They got the last half hour of Atlantis, probably.
Exactly.
I'd like to see what their ratings were for that half hour versus Galactica.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy. I'm telling you. I think the Cylons have infiltrated Sci-Fi Universal and are conspiring to ruin the show.
Sean,
what do you think?
Sean, I don't think you have to worry about Battlestar. I mean,
I'm just kidding. I'm having a good time.
You don't need to read into the tea leaves. It's going to be on. For a while, you know.
Yeah, and I think I go up and start shooting. I think April 1st I go up and start shooting.
When's
what I heard was that the earliest is now March 31st, but it can be delayed till April 4th.
Oh, well.
But your source might be saying April 1st, too.
No, I was just kidding around. My scenes are April 1st because it's April Fool's Day. I was just kidding around.
No, actually, don't know this, but they cut all of Sean's scenes out.
Oh, no.
He's they taped a lot of, but they just edited his scenes out for some reason.
Yeah, I'll be in the deleted scenes.
You see him, see him walking in the background, and they just said, you just don't fit the character,
man. I'm carrying a potted plant around.
you don't fit the character walking in the background. Are they going to?
There plunging the toilet after six.
Oh, that's what it was. You didn't see him in the toilet.
You didn't see him in the plunger? Galactica.
What?
Anyway.
No, is there any more news on the NBC re-airing?
No, I
haven't heard.
When I understand it, they're going to air it during the summer on Saturday nights. That's what I understand.
So I was asking, was there any more?
The first season?
Just the first season.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's why I'm here, because Saturday night's the lowest viewed night of the week, so the rumor is they're going to air the first season episodes on NBC on Saturday nights.
Hmm.
That's right. I don't know if it's true, but that's what the plan is right now,
well,
apparently.
More PR, the better.
Exactly, exactly.
But
so
they'll probably edit some of the episodes
going over
now.
Further?
Maybe not too much. I mean, they run about 43 minutes. So.
Oh, wow. I'm just checking for running because we started late. I don't know where I'm at with time here. I want to start a discussion.
No, we'll go for a couple
minutes. Okay. And then the merchandising, I said the book's coming out,
the
companion, which
coming out this summer.
Summer.
The
music.
Records coming, or the CDs coming
out this
summer. So.
I heard they're coming out with the Battlestar Galactica condoms, too, no? With the for six?
Are they?
No, I'm kidding. I know, but really, they're going crazy, the merchandising. Have you listened to any of the podcasts with the...